Welcome to the office. I'm Dr. J, and the office is now open. If you want to call and help me put together some memories of San Francisco radio, sort of an informal history of San Francisco radio, I can catch you up to date on the last, 25 years or so, and you can help me with that. Before that, I don't know anything about that. In San Francisco, call 441-TALK. From the East Bay, it's 832-TALK. From the South Bay, 269. From the North Bay, 454. Contra Costa 938 and San Mateo 342 TALK. Now, maybe this will help jog your memory. I've jotted down a few names and a few items here. See if this helps you at all. Some of the names that used to be on KGO doing talk shows were people like Les Crane, Ira Blue, Jim Moore, Bob Treber, Joe Dolan. And for a while there was sort of a rotating afternoon slot. We had Maureen Reagan for a while. Oh, yes, Maureen Reagan did a talk show on KGO for a while. And Congressman Bob Dornan, or Robert K. Dornan, who at that time was Bob Dornan. So let me make a little note, Maureen Reagan and Bob Dornan. I'm going to forget somebody, and I'll be steamed about that. But for a while, I worked at another station at KCBS. They had people like Fred Wilcox and Dave McElhattan, Rolf Peterson, Roy Elwell, and Fred Gerner and Bob Gerner, who were no relation, by the way, and Dean Stewart. And I'll come back to him in a minute. The name just slipped my mind. Who was the all-night? Ken used to do Music Till Dawn. I just slipped my mind. See, your memory's the second thing to go, you know. The first, I don't remember. Don Sherwood. And Dr. Don Rose and Dan Sorkin. Walt Daly used to do sports. And Craig Harrison. Does anybody remember Craig Harrison? He used to come on about 10 o'clock at night and sit for an hour and just talk. He took no phone calls. He had no news. He just sat for 1 hour and just talked. And read his own commercials and read letters from listeners and so forth. Ken Ackerman. Right. Music Till Dawn. On KGO doing news a few years ago, we had people like Ray Tannehill, Ted Weigand, he's still around, of course, Harv Morgan. And some of the changes I saw when I first got out of here, I remember when the two top stations in town were KSFO and KYA. Giants. Everybody else was scrambling for third place, and third was way behind second. And then KFRC turned on their monster rock machine and moved into second place. And KNBR decided to copy them and do rock and roll. And in the mid-60s, KNBR went rock and roll for about 2 weeks. And they got so much flack about that, they switched back. KSFO was the giant with Sherwood kicking things off when I first got here. And as I mentioned, call letters that have changed. KEWB became KNEW, KSFR became KSAN, KNBC became KNBR. And those are some of the things I just jotted down. Now, can you help me with the rest? Joseph, you're on KGO.
Hi, I have a few things now that I was sitting here thinking, but you make me feel like an ancient person.
Oh, don't feel that way.
I'm only 30 years old now, okay?
Well, you're just a sprite.
All right, remember with the Western Music Station, KSAY?
KSAY.
It used to be here I think it was either in Oakland or San Francisco, but God, my aunt used to play that all the time, and it drove me nuts.
Country music, huh?
Yeah, well, it was Western.
Oh.
Now it's country, right?
No, I'll write Western music.
We used to have this song called Valentino, about Rudolph Valentino, and they used to play it over and over. That's how I remember KSAY. Do you remember that song?
No.
Okay, good. You're lucky. And then there was, you remember Captain Satellite, Bob Marsh?
Oh, yeah. Well, I thought he was always television.
Pardon me?
Wasn't he television?
Yeah, well, but then he's on KDFC, I think, still.
Okay, I'll put him down.
Music, and then there was KSFO, John Gilliland. This is about 15 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
He used to have that show, something Chronicles, Music Chronicles or something.
Yeah, the history of music or something,
yeah. And he used to do something like that. So that's about it. You have a good day, and
all right.
Go Bengals.
What was that last part? Go Bengals, did you say? No. Tomorrow is going to be an absolutely spectacular 49ers day. Everybody in the world is going to be wearing 49ers outfits. I'm going to wear my 49ers sweatshirt, my 49ers hat, and the whole town is apparently going to go 49ers. Is it red or orange? I thought it was sort of Golden Gate Bridge red. Or whatever the color is. Line number 10, you're on KGO, Phil.
Hi, how are you doing there, Jim?
Fine.
You know, I was thinking, how about, I got a couple of suggestions here. How about having a popularity contest? Who is the favorite guy there at KGO or gal?
I don't think we want to do that. We might all be embarrassed.
And I think they ought to play a couple of tapes of Ira Blue for all Ira Blue fans here once in a while.
You know, I've got a tape at home of Ira Blue.
You do?
I ought to dig that up one day and play it because a lot of folks don't remember what he sounded like.
I thought they had it at the station library. I thought I had all those tapes.
No, we only keep them a few years and then they're gone forever.
Oh. Hey, I got a couple old radio shows you might have heard. How about, you remember I Love a Mystery? You remember that, huh?
Yeah, but now see, that's not necessarily San Francisco. That was national again. But I'll put it down. I Love a Mystery.
What about Space Patrol?
Space Patrol.
It used to be on 9 o'clock on Saturday morning here.
Do you remember when you used to turn in Saturday morning was all for kids?
Yeah, but then on the afternoon they had all those, I think it was Sunday, they had all those True Detective,
right.
Shadow and all them. You remember all them?
Oh, sure, yeah. But on Saturday morning I used to listen to Land of the Lost and the Buster Brown Club. And
oh, yeah, I remember that.
And Let's Pretend.
Yeah.
Boy, Let's Pretend was a magnificent program.
But I Love a Mystery faithful there, Jack, Doc, and Reggie. I really ate that up. That was really good.
Yeah, you know that... Oh, no, I started to say something wasn't quite true there. I remembered something that didn't happen. Okay.
All right, well, that's it.
All right, Smiling Ed McConnell and the Buster Brown Gang. Okay. But we're now specifically talking about San Francisco or Bay Area radio. If you can help me with that. Patricia, you're on KGO.
Hi there.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call. Years ago, I used to sew for my children when they were little, and I used to listen to Ira Blue.
Yep.
And... one person he used to have as a guest very frequently was Bill Cosby. And the reason I like both of them, and Bill Cosby, why I like him, he had such a beautiful speaking voice, he still does. But he, Ira Blue, used to broadcast from some nightclub.
From the Hungry Eye.
Pardon?
The Hungry Eye.
Yeah, and then Bill Cosby, he would be appearing there, then he'd go back and sit with Ira Blue and talk, and they'd talk about everything and anything.
Yeah. Whatever happened to Bill Cosby?
Well, he's there. You know what happened to him.
Yes.
Didn't he get a doctorate?
Oh, yes.
That's what I thought.
I think he was from Temple, yeah.
I always did like him. I thought he was
right.
A nice man.
I'm going to make a note of Ira Blue. I went by the Hungry Eye one night and just stood around the corner and watched Ira do his show. He sat on a chair higher than anybody else's, kind of up on a stool, and everybody else sort of sat around him, and you couldn't hear what was going on in the program if you were 10 feet away. I don't think they had any speakers or anything in there, did they? It was just sort of all kind of localized in one area. So you saw this guy sitting over there, this sort of... He looked sort of like a... mortician. I was kind of tall and thin and gangly, and he'd sit over there at this, hunched over on this big high stool with people sitting around him at a table, and you just see him moving his mouth. You couldn't hear what was being said, but he just did his program. And shortly after that, I was working over at another station at the time, and I tried to talk them into letting us do a program. Remember Roy Elwell? Well, I was a producer at the time, and I wanted to produce a program and get Roy Elwell to go in on Saturday afternoons and do a program from the Playboy Club. And that station said, no, that's not quite our image, Jim. So they wouldn't buy it. Mimi, you're on KGO.
Hi, Jim.
Hi.
Should we go back to 1932?
32? Sure, why not?
Four?
Mm-hmm.
You remember Ed Fitzgerald?
No, I wasn't around then.
I forgot about that.
Well, I mean, I was around then, but I told you I'm 86 years old, but I wasn't in San Francisco. Who's Ed Fitzgerald?
Well, he had the Feminine Fancy program.
Feminine Fancy?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
See?
What was that?
KFRC.
Okay, what did they do?
It was just music. There was Claude Sweeten's orchestra.
Claude Sweet?
Sweeten.
Okay, Sweeten.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I'm making a note of this.
And Tom Brennan, I think is how you pronounce it, took it over when Ed left in 1934.
Tom Brenneman.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Now, you might recognize Ed Fitzgerald more as Peggy Fitzgerald's husband.
Oh.
The original Mr. and Mrs. In New York.
Yes, Peggy Fitzgerald, the name, she stayed with it for a long time.
Well, she was with WR for 50 years.
Yeah.
They broadcast right from their apartment every day.
Okay, and we all know now that Merv Griffin used to be a singer with a band here.
Oh, yeah.
On radio.
Oh, yes. And then finally WR came up with the idea that Peggy had grown too old.
Yeah.
Had lived too long, so they let her go without any notice after all those years.
Yeah, I know. I heard about that.
And
another name that I've been requested to put into the mix here is Jack Webb.
yes.
He started out here in San Francisco. In fact, a guy I know used to write scripts for that program.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Yep.
Well, I was back in New York with Peggy about 5-6 years ago, and the only decent program to listen to was Al Collins.
Oh, Jazzbo.
Very, very disappointed with their radio back there.
Okay.
And Peggy is quite ill right now.
I've made a note of all this with Ed Fitzgerald and Tom Brenham and the like, but I got to get on the line now to line number one, Jim Eason on KGO.
Hello, Mr. Eason. Mr. Cleveland here.
Peter Cleveland.
How are you?
What are you up to?
Well, all sorts of things. Remember Ira Blue and the Lysol on the microphone?
Yes, he used to come in and spray the microphone before he'd go on the air, and it would reek for days.
When you and I were at San Francisco State back low those many years ago,
no.
I worked at what was then KNBC.
Yeah?
420 Taylor Street, and I did the traffic reports for Doug Pledger.
Oh, there's... How did I forget that name?
Yeah, Doug Pledger in the morning,
and
Dick Stewart in the afternoon.
Dick Stewart was a former band singer, too, wasn't
right,
he?
And then he went on and hosted the Miss California pageants for years.
Yeah.
And I would do their traffic reports and write them for them and all that. And with Dick Stewart, I recall one of my jobs was also upon occasion to go around the corner to David's Delicatessen, get him a corned beef sandwich on rye bread and two bottles of Heineken's. But
I feel sheepish now for leaving out Doug Pledger, because he's a giant in this business.
Yes, and he's still living out in the avenue with his lovely wife.
I learned more about classical music from him than I would have in college.
And before you got to that other unnamed radio station that was in the Palace Hotel,
yes,
there was a fellow, oh, this goes back into the early 50s, called Red Blanchard.
Oh, yes.
And his famed characters, Tombstone, Bogardus, Scourge of Perumph, and the Fat Man and his Bully Machine. And then before him was back in the late 40s, middle to late 40s, was a guy, I never knew what his real name was, but he was on KNBC, and he had a kid show, and he went by the name Jolly Bill.
Jolly Bill.
Probably couldn't get away with that anymore.
Wait a minute. Jolly Bill on a kid show. I'm making notes of all this now. Kid show. That was on KNBC, right?
On KNBC.
Now, where was Red Blanchard?
He was at KCBS.
Okay.
And then he left San Francisco and went to KFI, I think, in Los Angeles.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, they're dead when they leave the city.
I mean, across the Tehachapi Mountains, forget it.
It's over. I left out another name.
Another name?
I left out another name. Friendly Clyde.
Mm. Yes.
I don't think I'm telling secrets now if I tell everybody that Friendly Clyde was Dave McElhattan's sort of second banana. Because of the Musicians Union...
Smith, the Aaron Edwards to...
Yes.
Yeah.
Because of the Musicians Union, they had to keep a staff musician, and they didn't have anything to do with him, so they put him on McElhattan's morning show, and he'd play the piano and do little asides and talk with Dave. His real name was Homer Welch.
Yes. Yes.
Friendly Clyde.
Then there was Evangeline Baker, who did a lot of stuff. Well, she was at KNBC for a long time. Then she was also at KGO and was on the air with Owen.
Yep. I got a little note of that now. I'm writing as fast as I can. I knew an old elephant like you would remember all this stuff.
Well, you know, the elephant never forgets.
Right. Anybody else?
Well, you got Harve Morgan and you got Tannehill, who is now still knocking them dead in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Oh, I just thought of something else. Maybe I shouldn't bring this up.
Hmm.
I'm not going to tell you who it was, but a famous radio reporter once, back in the early part of 1970.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to tell you who it was.
Right.
But I remember once I was at another station, and I was monitoring KGO, comparing their news in the afternoon with, you know, the two stations.
Mm-hmm.
To which station had which story.
Right.
And a famous radio reporter for KGO came in with a bulletin and told Harve Morgan he had just gotten a bulletin that Ed Reinecke, who was then lieutenant governor, had just declared for the U.S. Senate. And that was their lead story.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. He'd just come out and declared for the Senate. Never happened.
Yeah, I seem to remember that reporter who's no longer in the business.
So. And you know, that was the oddest thing, because of all days to be monitoring that station, that was a day. And that story floated up and disappeared in about 10 seconds.
Yeah, but it was also that same reporter who I have it on reliable authority,
yes,
sandbagged the same Mr. Reinecke's young 8 or 9 year old son in Washington, D.C., just before he was going to become lieutenant governor of the state of California.
Oh, that's right.
And said to the young son, well, how do you like the idea of moving back to Sacramento? And when everybody was trying to figure out if, in fact, Mr. Reinecke was going to come back and become the lieutenant governor of California. And he said, oh, well, I'm going to miss Washington, but it'll be nice to get back to Sacramento and see all my friends. Whereupon the radio station put that on the air.
Yes.
But again, this is an unnamed person that we don't...
Well, of all the good work he did over the years, that was the one day I was tuned in and keeping notes and making, you know, taping the whole thing, and I said, oh, my God, they just led with a story that didn't exist.
Well.
But it was a good one. Anyway, well, listen, I appreciate all these memories. Thank you very much for the call. Peter Cleveland, traffic reporter from KNBC. Indeed. We'll have more of this right after this.
I just went, I guess, off the deep end, subconsciously, and struck out.
It sounds like a story straight out of a horror movie. The henpecked husband in Scottsdale, Arizona, who kills his wife with a knife, slashing at her 26 times in a frenzied bloodbath of hatred. But when the case comes to trial, his lawyers come up with an extraordinary defense. He had been sleepwalking, and in that half world between dreams and consciousness, he'd killed his wife without knowing it. The jurors were convinced. They didn't just acquit him. They hailed him as a hero.
Hell, I think the guy deserves a medal.
Today on A Current Affair, we talk to the Scottsdale sleepwalker about the dream that became a nightmare. Nightmare in Scottsdale. Next time on A Current Affair. And tomorrow, learn about Frank Sinatra's darkest secret. Watch A Current Affair today at 4 on Channel 4.
Hello.
Hello.
How about going back to the 1920s?
All right, go ahead.
I broadcast a weekly sports program on KQW.
KQW.
Which later became KCBS.
Right.
And KQW claimed to be the oldest radio station in the United States, although a radio station in Pittsburgh disputed the claim.
KDKA.
What?
KDKA in Pittsburgh is the one that disputes it, but they're still claiming that.
Well, KQW was around a long time, I remember. And then in 1931, I broadcast the first football game over KQW, which later became KCBS. And my contemporaries at that time were Ernie Smith on KYA.
Yeah.
And KYA is a big time.
Right.
And he was probably the foremost sports announcer of the early 30s. And Don Thompson was on KPO.
I'm writing this down as fast as I can. Don Thompson, KPO.
On sports, yes.
Right. And you want to give us your name?
My name is Theron Fox, F-O-X.
Theron Fox.
Yes.
And you were on KQW.
KQW.
All right, I've made a note of it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Nice to hear from you. Appreciate your call. See, that goes back even before we had radio. Well, not exactly. Ben, you're on KGO.
Yeah, Jim, I was going to mention that Ernie Smith, and he was sponsored by Associated Gasoline.
Associated Gasoline.
Yeah, right. And then you had Les Malloy.
Oh, well, Les is still around.
Well, he was at that time. And then you had KLX.
Now, see, there's a name I should have put at the top of the list, too. Les Malloy. KLX?
Yeah, KLX. That was the Oakland Tribune station.
Okay.
You had Brother Bob, and he used to have a little program for the kids.
Brother Bob.
Right.
Okay.
You had KPO.
Yeah, that was KGO, wasn't it?
Right, KPO.
Yeah.
And that was one of the stations that was quite popular. And then KFRC
Right.
Ernie Smith, he was quite an announcer. He announced all the Stanford games.
Okay, I'm going to make a note of that. Stanford.
Yeah, he was mostly for Stanford down there, and he was just, let's get associated. That was his byline.
All right. That's good. Let's get associated.
Right.
All right, thank you for that. Don Klein is another sports name from Bay Area Radio. We're getting all here eventually. Fred, you're on KGO.
Yeah, Jim, glad to get to you again. Always glad to see to say hello. Hope we can always sometime get another Follies show going to some of these days.
I haven't had a Friday Follies in a long time.
Yeah, I know it. Well, I guess we're all getting kind of too old. I know I am. But, I thought that guy was going to steal some of my thunder. I go back to the 20s, too, when Al Pierce and his gang was the big number one.
Al Pierce.
The happy-go-lucky hour.
Wait a minute, let me make a note of that. Happy-go-lucky hour.
Yeah, well, Al Pierce, you know, used to be Elmer Fudd.
Right.
Used to go around knocking on doors selling brushes, I guess, Fuller Brush Man, I guess.
Right.
And he was always saying, I hope there's nobody home.
I hope. Yes.
Yeah. But he had all, you know, he had Maury Amsterdam started on his program when he was just a kid. He used to have Mabel Todd, and he used to have, my word, the lady that used to be turned out to be Tizzy Lish, which was Barbara Jo Allen. You know, Barbara Jo Allen was Hazel on the old One Man's Family program, who was engaged to the number one son in the family, the oldest son.
Beats me.
Yeah.
I'm just writing as fast as I can.
Well, yeah, she turned out to be Tizzy Lish,
yes,
you know,
Tizzy.
As a comedian. But she was quite a dramatic star. And then I was afraid that guy was going to mention about KLX Tribune Tower there, you know, something before the war years, for years and years before the war, they used to, you know, at 12 o'clock noon, always have a siren that would blow. You could hear the thing clear to Mount Tamalpais, I guess. It was so loud, it was all over the Bay Area. But then during the war, they canceled that siren because, you know, of the air raid warnings.
They didn't play a siren on radio, did they?
No, they just blew the siren for everybody to hear it, that it was 12 noon.
Yeah, because I'm trying to get some Bay Area radio stuff now, not siren stuff.
Yeah, well, right. I just thought I'd, you know, throw
just
that in.
Drop that in anyway, okay.
But, maybe that guy here that knew all those sports announcers knew Frank Watanabe. Does that name ring a bell?
Yes, but I don't know why. What?
Frank Watanabe was his name.
I remember the name, but I don't know why.
Well, he was a newscaster and a sports announcer.
And
I think that he was famous both in San Francisco and Oakland.
All right. I got it, and I appreciate your call. Now, somebody help me with this one. There used to be a newscaster on, was it KKHI in the morning? Was it John K. Chappell? Is that the name I'm trying to remember? I'm going to write that down before I forget it. John K. Chappell. I'm going to write him down because I think he was on KKHI with the news in the morning, but maybe I'm wrong. Help me. More after. All right, a few more names that have cropped up here. See, from time to time, my memory fires again, and I get a name out of the past or the present. Some of the names that we have omitted so far, and this doesn't go back to the 20s and Tizzy Lish and Maury Amsterdam, but it's a little more recent. Ed Brady from KNBR used to be almost the voice of that station. And Tom Saunders, who's still around, Russ the Moose, Gene Nelson, Tom Donahue, big name in broadcasting. He always gets mentioned. Some of these others don't. Jimmy Lyons on KNBC, now runs the Monterey Jazz Festival. And, of course, Lou Hurley. I neglected to put Lou in with the KGO people, but he certainly belongs there. And it had just been pointed out to me that there are a couple of commercials that are still running that have not changed in, what, 20, 30 years? See Alice Brooks today. That's been running forever. And Automotive Engineering, the little music from that. Da, 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 da. See, some things never change. Roberta, you're on KGO. Tick, tick. Clock's running. Okay, Lou, you're on KGO.
Yeah, Don. I'm thinking of Don Sherwood.
That's all right. That's fine.
I go back quite a ways. I remember KQW when it was first here in San Jose. Of course, somebody else already told you about this. It was on the corner of 2nd and San Fernando, and I had an old crystal set that I used to listen to it.
My goodness.
Later on, I listened to KPO when I got a one-tube set. and also, I listened to KYA, and I think I'm a proud owner of Al Collins Cookbook.
Oh, my goodness.
And I go back far enough to where Ira Blue was broadcasting, and I don't remember whether he broadcast in the Purple Onion, the Green Turnip, or the Empty Year. I don't remember where it was.
Hungry Eye.
A Hungry Eye.
Yep.
That's where it was. And also, I remember Doug Pletcher. And do you recall, I think it either was KPO or one of those old-time stations, they used to broadcast Harry Owens and the Hawaiians from the islands.
Wait a minute. There was Hawaii Calls.
Hawaii Calls, that's right.
Was it Harry Owens?
It was Harry Owens. Harry Owens and his Royal Hawaiians.
Oh, that was the band. But what was the announcer's name?
Oh, Lord, I don't remember.
Yeah, you'd hear the surf crashing on the beach?
As a matter of fact, I've been out there several times, and I've seen right where he broadcast from.
Why he called?
Banyan Tree.
I can't remember the guy's name. Somebody will help us with it.
Yeah, I probably will. Also, something else. My mother, rest her soul in peace and all this other good stuff, she used to listen to Pretty Kitty Kelly.
Pretty?
Which was a daytime serial on radio.
Oh, now, see, you get into cereals, we're going to be here all day.
Oh, well, okay.
Because I used to listen to all the kids' stuff, and then in the afternoons when you get home from school, they had a lot of soap opera stuff, you know, Young Widow Brown and Portia Faces Life and Lorenzo Jones and all that.
Right.
Then they had some for the kids. They had Dick Tracy, Terry and the Pirates, Jack Armstrong, and all those for the kids.
Oh,
but,
well,
see, that's network stuff. I'm talking about San Francisco stuff now.
Well, this was network, but I remember listening to it.
Oh, yeah.
From the San Francisco station.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I appreciate your help.
It's been a pleasure talking to you.
All right. Now, who was the guy on Hawaii Calls, the announcer? Oh, boy. We'll get it. Helen, you're on KGO.
Oh, good afternoon, Jim. Yes, someone has already mentioned this gentleman's name, Al Pierce, but that was one of the first programs I can remember listening to, and it was called Al Pierce and His Blue Monday Jamboree.
Right, the Blue Monday Jamboree. He mentioned the Happy-Go-Lucky Hour, but I remember it from the Blue Monday Jamboree.
Blue Monday, and there's, of course, Horace Height and his musical nights.
Was he local?
Yes, he was years ago.
Horace Height.
And Paul Whiteman that played from the Palace.
Oh, yeah, well, a lot of big bands played from here, I guess.
Oh, and then Ted Courtney with Western Music. And then one that all fellow San Franciscans will recognize, Ted Fiorito.
Mm-hmm.
That used to play all over, but especially during Russian River during the summertime.
Ted Fiorito. Okay.
Back quite a ways.
I got him, and I appreciate your help.
All right, thank you very much.
As a matter of fact, one of the first radio programs or stations I ever worked at, now this goes back a couple of weeks too, but I worked at an armed forces radio station in North Africa, just outside Casablanca. And I used to work the midnight to six shift. But sometimes I'd have to come in the afternoon and fill in for some of the guys. And I remember at 6 o'clock in the afternoon, 6 o'clock, we had news from Armed Forces Radio, and we had to tune in a receiver. And then you get it. It was Armed Forces Radio news, and so forth. They do the news, and then the news went, I think, for 10 minutes, maybe it was 15. And at 6:15, we had to queue up a record that was about 3 feet across. It was a huge record. Put it on the turntable and queue it up. There'd be a little musical intro, and then you'd hear Ira Blue on sports. He was on NBC at the time. Ira Blue Sports. And I told Ira that years later when I started working here, and he was very impressed that anybody would ever hear it and remember it. It was one of my first introduction to San Francisco radio, I believe. Line number two is Byron. You're on KGO.
Yes, hi, Jim. How are you? That's Webley Edwards who we're trying to think of.
Webley Edwards, right.
And he has a little local background, too. He was a staff announcer at KFRC for quite a few years.
Was he really? Webley Edwards and Hawaii Calls.
Right, and you can't leave San Francisco radio out without Carlton E. Morse.
Right, of course. Carlton E. Morse.
And
who brought us all the wonderful cereals.
One Man's Family,
right.
And I Love a Mystery.
He was on this program once about 5 or 6 years ago. Yeah. Very impressive fellow.
I talked to him. I was on One Man's Family at one time.
Oh, were you really?
Would you like a rundown of the 1930, the way the dial ran from 560 down to the bottom of the dial?
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
KTAB came KSFO. It was Columbia Broadcasting in 1940 when they switched with KFRC, which was Mutual Don Lee. That was the next one. KPO, then KQW, KCBS, KGO, KLX, KROW, KJBS, which has that big tower on Pine Street that...
Oh, yeah, the station's right under the tower.
Right. KYA was in the Hearst building, and they did live radio pretty much. And there was one from the Glad Tidings Temple called KGGC. And the last station on the dial was Warner Brothers, not the big one, but they had a radio store in Oakland that was called KLS, and that was the last station on the dial.
All right. Now, I didn't write all that down, but I'm going to save a tape of this, and I'll play it back one day and write it all down.
And then, as far as San Francisco going, they were the key station for many of the networks, the Red and Blue and Mutual Don Lee, and they had programs that went throughout the country. Of course, One Man's Family and I Love a Mystery emanated here. And there was Captain Hugh Dobbs and the Shell Ship of Joy, which came from KGO in 19... 19- 1929 to 1937.
The Shell Ship of Joy.
Yeah.
Now, wait, what was the program they used to have that was a standard school broadcast?
Standard school broadcast was on the air for 31 years.
I was almost on that once.
And
I read for a part and they didn't take me.
They were on at 11 in the morning and every school took the kids to the auditorium to listen to the standard school broadcast.
Okay, now I want to tell you something you may not know. And every time I mention this, nobody believes it. But somebody, one of my listeners, once sent me a radio log from an old magazine, sometime in the 20s. It was a little, or maybe it was a newspaper. There's a radio log there. No, it was a listing of all the radio stations in California. And this was sometime in the 20s. And in Pasadena, California, there was a station called KGO.
Well, it would have been after, before 1921, because KGO put their transmitter over in the mud flats over in Oakland was the General Electric station originally.
But was it KPO then?
That's possible. That's possible.
Mm.
But then there was a big name in San Francisco that old-timers remember. He's probably the premier, what Don Sherwood was in the 40s and 50s, Benny Walker. Have you ever heard of that name?
No, but I'll write him down.
They used to broadcast a program in the afternoon from Hale Brothers Store, which is now the new Nordstrom's.
Hale Brothers, okay.
And KPO was Hale Brothers, and the Chronicle owned them.
You know, there used to be a program that came on back in North Carolina, something like 7:15 in the morning or something. It was a comedy show, and it was very weird and very strange. They'd do little skits and things, and there was a guy on there that I thought was the funniest man in the world, and his name was Jack Kirkwood.
Oh, of course. He did a program with Tommy Harris for 5 years at KFRC.
Yeah, he was a local fella. He'd say, put something in the pot, boy.
That's right. It was Jack Kirkwood and Tommy Harris in a program at 10 o'clock in the morning or 9 o'clock in the morning. And the conductor, the band conductor, believe it or not, was Meredith Wilson.
Well, I'll be darned.
Who wrote Music Man and several.
All right, but I always remember that put something in the pot, boy. He used to crack me up every morning.
Well, we had a lot of people in San Francisco. You've heard of Bill Todman and Goodman.
Oh, yeah, Goodman and Todman.
They were both staff announcers at KFRC in the late 30s and early 40s.
I got it. I got to run and do some commercials now, but I appreciate your help. I'm getting a long list of folks here.
Who you know, that's what.
Going back over history of San Francisco radio, somebody just faxed in a message that said, I love the version of Rhapsody in Blue that Ira used as his theme song. Who recorded it? I have no idea. Sorry. Also remember a woman who used to call Ira frequently insisting that the moon landing was a hoax, faked in a hotel room somewhere. Yes. Line number 11. Tom, you're on KGO.
Yeah, Jim. Hey, I like your show. I just do it every chance I get, which isn't all the time, but it's as often as I can. I've got a station here that you might remember back. It's KDIA today, but it used to be KWBR, Lucky 1310. Rhythm and Blues station.
No, wait a minute. KEWB was Lucky 13, Channel 13. Oh, it was Channel 91, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, no, wait a minute here. Let me get that again. All right. I'll get it straight. Okay, now wait a minute. Okay, now what was it now? What is it now?
KWBR.
No, it was that then.
It was then it was KWBR. Today it's KDIA.
KDIA. Lucky 13?
10.
Oh, Lucky, what?
Lucky 1310.
That doesn't ring any bells, but I'll take your word for it.
Okay, it's Oakland, San Francisco, small station.
Okay.
And one of the disc jockeys on it that's still around, I don't think he's on radio, but Big Don Barksdale.
Don Barksdale. All right, I'll make a note of that.
Yeah, also, I remember when old Aaron Edwards was the newsman on Sherwood Show.
Yes, of course.
And there was a young fella trying to break into radio, and Sherwood used to give him a little bit of a chance once in a while. And you couldn't tell what was going on behind the scene, but he'd let this young kid read a commercial once in a while and tell him not to blow it this time.
Right.
And old Sherwood would undoubtedly be doing something, and I believe, and the kid would break up, and I believe that was Carter B. Smith.
You're absolutely right.
Right.
Carter B. Smith and Aaron Edwards and Don Sherwood.
Right.
Were a deadly threesome.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I appreciate your help. I'm Jim Eason on KGO. We're talking about San Francisco radio. We're going back farther than I expected to go today, but nonetheless, we're getting some names and dates and places and stations. There used to be an announcer on KSFO named Bill Hayward. Remember Bill Hayward? He was a staff announcer, used to do the news and the like. I met him one night when I was over there, and it turned out he is related to DuBose Hayward, who wrote Porgy, on which Porgy and Bess was based. A little trivia for your file. This is an educational program. After the news, more. And then later on this afternoon, we'll talk to some people who have brought a hit to San Francisco.
Home of the Super Bowl-bound 49ers. KGO, San Francisco, Oakland, San Jose.
Okay, Les Malloy, you know, still working.
Oh, yeah, I mentioned him.
And so is Doug Pledger.
Yeah.
He does a classic show on KKHI every day.
He's fine, too.
Oh, you betcha. Used to be a play-by-play announcer for the Oakland Oaks called Dean Maddox.
Dean Maddox.
Yeah.
You don't know what station he was on, do you?
No, I don't. But he also, prior to his becoming their announcer, he did a show under the name of Buddha. A radio show of some sort.
Oh, wait a minute. Somebody mentioned that just the other day.
Yeah.
Something about Buddha. Yeah, use the name Buddha.
Yeah, and his name was Dean Maddox.
Okay.
Okay, what else did I have here? Ira Blue used to do play-by-play for one of the baseball teams.
Oh, yeah, he started out as a sports guy.
Yeah.
That's apparently a good training ground for talk show hosts.
Yep. And there was a station in Berkeley called KRE, which was a pretty good radio station.
KRE?
KRE.
Hmm.
Now, last thing, the local orchestras that were popular.
Oh, boy, we'll be here all night with those.
Well, just quick, Ran Wild was one of Ran Wild, of all things.
Okay. Ran Wild?
Ran Wild, Carl Ravazza, and Dale Courtney. All pretty good local orchestras.
Ran Wild.
Yeah.
I can't get over that name.
Right.
Okay.
And Benny Walker. Benny Walker. Somebody mentioned Benny Walker a while ago. He also did a drama show in the evening that was called Down Memory Lane.
Hmm. Down Memory Lane. Let me make a note of that. Memory Lane.
Yeah, Benny Walker was quite a prominent local character here for a long, long time. Pre-war.
Now, hang on a minute here. I'm making a note of something else, too, that just popped in my mind. My brain is gone. I can't remember anybody's names anymore. Robin King. Remember Robin King? Announcer, does a lot of commercials and stuff.
Yeah, a lot of narrative.
I believe, if I remember correctly, years ago, Robin King used to do a program on another station late at night where he would read mystery stories, and I think it was called something like The Black Castle.
There's another guy. God bless me, I can't think of his name. But
I said the memory's the second thing to go, isn't it?
Yeah. Hal Burdick.
Hal Burdick.
Do a thing called The Night Editor.
Hmm. Okay.
The Night Editor. Came on right after One Man's Family.
All right. I'm making a note of that.
Hal Burdick.
All right. I appreciate your help.
Well, okay.
There's more?
I was going to say one more thing. I can't think of what it was.
Well, I say the memory's the second thing to go.
Take care.
Okay. No, it means you're getting a number right now. Let me check and see with the back office and see if they'll let me give away some money. Let me see if they get with it. Hello? Anybody here? I'll check with them later. But for right now, get your number. Maybe we'll get you some money later on. Line number 5, you're on KGO, Rich.
Hi, Jim. Some names that I remember from KSFO, Russ Hodges.
Oh, yes.
And
bye-bye, baby.
You bet. And I believe that the band leader, Del Courtney, did a show on KSFO for a while.
You're absolutely right.
Afternoon show. And I had Jack Carney on my list, who has just mentioned a couple of things I remember him trying to sell, or not trying to sell, but probably selling very well, were Wink wide-angle mirrors and Holiday Magic Cosmetics.
Yes.
And as a youngster in the mid 50s, I remember going to a live radio show that was done in San Francisco. Can't remember the fellow's name, but he was always talking about some kind of a concoction they called a Zorch cow, and
wait a minute, a Zorch what?
Zorch cow.
Now, the word Zorch rings a bell.
Yeah, and I remember it as being kind of Stan Freeberg-like humor. The show I went to, they were doing sound effects for thunder, like rattling a sheet of tin and doing some really fun stuff.
Well, there are two buildings in town that I know used to be radio studios. One was the old CBS studio in the Sheraton Palace Hotel.
Right.
And there was another one that is now KBHK Television, which was on Taylor Street. One was for CBS, one was for NBC. And when you walk in there, in those studios, you could imagine being in the 30s and being in line behind one of those velvet ropes waiting to get in the studio, because that's what they were there for.
Yeah. Well, I remember this. There was a live audience in that show while it was on the...
As opposed to a dead audience, right?
Yeah. right, exactly.
Yes.
Maybe 100 folks or so.
Mm-hmm.
And then a little more recently, another name I can't remember, but there was a guy who predated Dr. Ruth with... the fantasy talk show thing, and his first name might have been Don something.
Don Chamberlain.
There you go.
That was the California Girls.
Right, and that was always an interesting kind of show to tune into once in a while.
I'll tell you a little secret about that. When he went on the air with that program in the early 70s, about 1970, 72, somewhere back then, and at the same time he started doing that program in the middle of the day, the program was for women only. They wouldn't take any calls from men. It was for women only. And they talked about sex and sexy things and all that. And KGO announced to me that they were going to put me on in the afternoons. And they said, now we're putting you up against Don Chamberlain. He's got a great audience. Things are going well. They're making a lot of money. And you're going to have to do your best to get some calls there. And I said, look, he's talking to women about sex. I'm going to talk about everything else. No problem. And we got along all right.
Well, that's great. Well, it's really fun to reminisce about these old shows.
It is. I appreciate your call. Now, that was California Girls was sort of a ripoff, because before that, there was a fellow in town named Bill Balance, who used to be on KNBR in the old Fox Plaza building, and Bill Balance started a program. It wasn't called California Girls, but it was similar to that. Something about for women only or something, and he started that somewhere in Southern California, so the idea of doing it up here was sort of a carbon copy. Kathy, you're on KGO.
Hi. Before I tell you about the super show that I want to remember, I just want to mention quickly that I think you would have enjoyed Ann Holden for one particular thing on her women's magazine type of show. She didn't try to get rid of the word basically, but she did try to talk all of us into saying Alameda. You tell how well she succeeded.
Yes. Ann Holden, huh?
Yeah.
You don't know what station she was on, do you?
Probably KQW or KPO. I don't think it was KGO.
I'll tell you another lady broadcaster in the air. We mentioned Evangeline Baker and some of the others. There was one woman who used to do a program in the Bay Area here named Helen Bentley. Remember her?
Yes, I do.
Marvelous lady.
Absolutely.
She got out of the business and went into something else and got rich, I think.
Well, the good thing about the main show I wanted to talk to you about is that if people want to know what the program was like, all they have to do is go to the public library, check out books by Samuel Dickson, D-I-C-K-S-O-N, about San Francisco history.
Samuel Dickson.
Yes, and he wrote very colorful scripts for Bud Heide to read.
Oh, there's another name, Bud Heide.
Yeah, and they would last a half hour, and they were on every Sunday morning around 11 a.m. And one of the nice things about the show was that they won a prize for their coordinated recorded background music. I don't think it had been done before.
Wow.
And the kinds of stories they had on the show were like, well, one of my favorites is The Night They Robbed the Mint. It was a maneuver somebody coordinated, nobody knows who, to avoid having a run on the banks. They got some money from the mint and stacked it up on the counters in the bank, and everybody looked at it and said, oh, that's okay, and went home.
I love stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I just remembered another. I can't remember the name, though. Dang it. Somebody will help me with this now. Fella used to be on KFRC in the middle of the day on Sunday, about noon.
Uh-huh.
And the program was called something like Sunday Serenade or something, and he would take the life of a famous band leader or singer, and he would narrate the life and play selections by it. He later came over to KGO and was news director here for a while. Now he's with the telephone company or PG&E or something. I can't remember his name.
I remember something like that. I don't remember.
George Ruge.
Oh.
George Ruge.
Now that's
beautiful.
Familiar, yes.
And I asked him once if he had tapes of all those programs. It was called something like Sunday Serenade. They were great programs.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if he still has tapes around or anything, but those were super.
Well, Samuel Dickson's books are divided into very short chapters, and I think each one had something to do with that radio program, because I remembered a lot of the stories.
Well, I'll check that out.
Okay.
And I thank you for your help. Now, here's another one that's been around for a while. He's a reporter on KGO right now. His name is Dick Leonard. The first time I ever ran into Dick Leonard was another station, and it was on a Sunday morning. I'd just gotten a job there, and I had come in to kind of go through the motions and see what I had to do that day. And Dick Leonard came in, and he was wearing a hat and a raincoat, and he was carrying a tape recorder, and he was absolutely soaking wet and covered in ashes. He had been out covering a fire, and they introduced me to him, and he was just reeking of all this smoke and fire and business. He brought in his little tape and he edited it and put it on the air. He'd been covering some big fire. They said, Jim Eason, this is Dick Leonard. And I said, how do you do? And he wouldn't shake my hand because he was just covered in soot and ashes and water. And that was my introduction to Dick Leonard. My introduction to Rolf Peterson, by the way, was at the same station. And one day I was coming out of the studio, and he was on his way in to do a program, doing a newscast. And he had gone into the newsroom, and the teletype machine had been running, and there were about 8 feet of teletype paper on the floor. And Rolf was one of the most wonderful people in the world. Marvelous man, but he was the most disorganized person on earth. And he had realized at about 1 minute till airtime he had to do a newscast. So he went in and just ripped off this paper, and I saw this long, gangly guy streaking down the hall, trailing about 8 feet of wire copy. And he went in the studio, sat down real quick, and just started reading. And I said, is that how it's done in big-time radio?
Hello, Jim.
Oh, by the way, I have to say something. For those of you who are calling in to get a number in the big game thing, it's too late. All the numbers are gone. So no more calls, please. Where were we?
Jim, I want to thank you for doing this show. This is absolutely wonderful. I worked in radio broadcast in the 40s, and you're bringing back all kinds of names, and I got a whole mess of names for you, and you better get your pencil ready.
All right, my pencil's ready. If I don't catch them, I got them on tape.
Good, okay. First of all, I missed about your first 10 minutes, I'm sorry to say, but how about Jim Moore at your station?
Yes, Jim Moore.
Yeah, okay.
And what were the comedian's name?
What comedian?
Coyle and Sharp. Remember Mal Coyle and
Coyle
and Sharp used to do a comedy show.
They came after me. They were long after the 40s.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Dean Maddox used to be with KFRC, but he was around a long time.
Okay.
And he did do baseball broadcasts later for the Oakland team, but he was at, I think, more than one station.
Most of us were.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? How about Art Linkletter? Did his name come up?
No, but he used to be here, didn't he?
Well, he sure was. He used to do a show for Samuel's, A House of Lucky Reddingers on Market Street, and interview people right in the lobby of Samuel's Jewelers. And I believe that when he left that show, I guess to go to Hollywood, that Dean Maddox was his replacement.
I'll be darned.
Okay, let's see. How about Frank Cope at KJBS?
Frank Cope. I don't remember that.
Go back maybe before your time, but he was there for something like 25 years.
Okay.
Probably one of the name disc jockeys of the area. I worked for KQW from 43 to 46, and JBS stood for Julius Brundon Sons, the owners. Oh, got a commercial in. Sorry. And they were the FCC required them to leave that station, so they still had semi-ownership. So what happened is KQW used to feed the newscast to KJBS, and I was on master control. I used to, line up. I'd call Frank, every morning. We used to feed him about 3 newscasts in the morning. And we'd use our newscasters, but under different names.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. And one of those newscasters was Grant Holcomb, who went down to Hollywood and got into TV down there.
I know that. Okay.
Okay, let's see, where am I now? We covered these three. Lee Giroux was an old-timer, I think mostly at KBO or KNBC or KNBR. Do you remember that name?
Yes. Well, I heard the name. I didn't hear him.
Right. There was a fellow in East Bay named Vic Paulson that did a lot, and I get confused on whether it was KROW or KLX, the two main stations over there. Another person that was over there before she came to San Francisco and got into TV, but she was well-known, was Wanda Ramey.
Oh, yes. I didn't know she did radio.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. If you go back far enough.
Well, you go back far enough, everybody did radio.
What's her name? Phyllis Diller. You probably know.
Oh, yes. She used to be at KGO for a while.
Before that, she worked at one of those East Bay stations as a secretary.
Mm-hmm.
Worked up her little comedy routine and became famous.
Okay.
Several of the questions you had before were answered by other people who've been in the business.
This is enough anyway.